Okay, so today we're really diving deep into something that is super important, but you might not have ever really thought about it. We're talking about the challenges of formulating biologic and injectable drugs and why it even matters. You know, we always hear about new drugs and treatments, but we don't always consider the journey they take from the lab to actually reaching patients like us.
And it's quite a journey.
It is. And a lot of it comes down to formulation, which is basically figuring out how to turn that raw drug molecule into a stable, safe, and effective medicine that can actually be given to people.
Exactly. And, especially with biologics and injectables, it gets really tricky.
Definitely not as simple as just popping a pill, right?
No, not at all.
So to guide us through this deep dive, we have a whole bunch of research and development materials, some really cool insights from the world of pharmaceutical science.
Yeah, we even got some real-world examples from journals like OPR&D, Organic Process Research and
Oh,
Development.
very cool.
Yeah, so we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of what makes these formulations so challenging and really try to understand the complexities from a scientific perspective, but also how they impact us directly as patients.
All right, so let's start with the basics. What exactly are we talking about when we say biologics and injectables?
Okay, so biologics, they're essentially medications that are made from living organisms or their cells. Like, think of things like antibodies or therapeutic proteins. And what really sets them apart is their size. They're huge molecules.
Much bigger than, say, a typical, like a small molecule drug.
Oh, yeah, way bigger. I mean, for example, you've got immunoglobulins, which are really important for your immune system. Those guys weigh in at around 150 to 200 kilodaltons. And then you have something like IgM, which is another antibody. And it's massive, about 970 kilodaltons. To put that in perspective, it's like comparing a small car to a jumbo jet.
So that really is a huge difference in size.
Oh, absolutely. And that size, it creates a whole bunch of challenges when you're trying to formulate them into a medicine.
So it's not just their size, their structure is also super complex, right?
Exactly. Like if you think about a basic antibody, it's got these two identical heavy chains and two identical light chains, all joined together by these things called disulfide bonds. And then on top of that, they can have sugar molecules attached to them, which is called glycosylation.
Interesting.
And, that can actually impact how stable the molecule is and even how your body reacts to it. So it's a really important factor to consider when you're trying to create a stable and effective formulation.
So lots of moving parts there. And then on top of all that, we have the different classes of antibodies, right?
Right, you've got IgG, IgA, IgD, IgM, and IgE.
What sets them apart?
It all boils down to the type of heavy chain they have.
Okay, so essentially, with biologics, we're dealing with these massive, intricate molecules, and then we need to figure out how to get them into the body, and that's where injectables come in, right?
Yeah, exactly. Injectables are formulations that are designed to be delivered directly into your body, usually using a needle. And it's often the preferred route for biologics because, like we were saying, they're so big and delicate that they might not survive if you took them orally, like in a pill. I mean, they might get broken down in your digestive system, or they might not even get absorbed properly.
That makes sense. So going straight into the bloodstream seems like the best way to deliver these large, complex molecules.
Right. And it's not just for biologics. Injectables are used for lots of other drugs too, especially when you need a quick response or you need to make sure the drug is completely absorbed.
Okay, so that's the basic rundown of biologics and injectables.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about some of the big challenges in actually formulating these types of medicines.
All right.
So, where do we even start?
Well, the first thing you absolutely have to nail is sterility.
Sterility, that makes sense, because you're bypassing a lot of the body's natural defenses when you inject something directly into the bloodstream, right?
Exactly. You're going right past all those barriers that normally help to keep out infections.
So these formulations have to be completely free of any living microorganisms or any kind of contamination.
Absolutely. I mean, even the tiniest amount of contamination can be really dangerous.
So I imagine that the manufacturing process for injectables must be incredibly strict.
Oh, it is. Everything happens under these tightly controlled conditions. It's all about preventing any chance of microbes getting in or growing.
So this is where good manufacturing practices or GMP come in, right?
Exactly. GMP are like these super strict regulations and guidelines that cover every single step of the manufacturing process.
So what kind of things do they cover?
Well, pretty much everything from how the facilities are designed and maintained to the training of the personnel and all the specific procedures they follow.
Wow, so it's really comprehensive. But can you give me an example of how sterility is actually insured in practice.
Sure. Think about the water that's used in the manufacturing process.
All right.
You know, water is a key ingredient in a lot of these formulations.
Right.
And the water systems they use are super important, so they go through this rigorous process called operational and performance qualification.
Oh, cool. Break that down for me.
So operational qualification is like making sure all the parts of the machine are working properly, checking things like flow rates, pressure, temperature, making sure the filters are working correctly to remove any microorganisms.
Okay.
And then performance qualification is like checking if the machine can consistently produce that super pure water over time.
Ah, okay. So it's not just a one-time check. It's this ongoing monitoring to make sure everything is working as it should be.
Yeah, exactly. They constantly monitor the water for microbial and chemical purity.
So it's a constant vigilance to maintain that sterility.
Pretty much.
Okay. So sterility, that's hurdle number one. What's the next big challenge?
So the next one is stability. And this is often a bigger problem with biologics compared to many small molecule drugs.
Why is that?
Well, because biologics have these really complex structures, they're much more fragile and prone to changes over time.
Okay, what kind of changes?
Well, temperature is a big one.
Okay.
If it gets too hot, the protein can unfold or clump together, which is called aggregation. And
Right.
when that happens, it basically stops working the way it should.
So it's like it loses its shape and can't function properly anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And pH is also super important.
pH, like how acidic or basic the solution is.
Yeah, exactly. Even if the drug molecule itself is fine with changes in pH, you know, a non-optimal pH can still mess with other parts of the molecule and make it unstable.
Okay, so it's about finding that sweet spot where everything is balanced just right.
Right. And then you also have to worry about degradation, where the molecule actually breaks down into smaller pieces.
And those pieces, they're not going to be effective anymore, right?
Right. They might be inactive, or even worse, they could become harmful.
So it's a real balancing act to keep these biologics from falling apart or changing in a way that makes them ineffective or unsafe.
Yeah, and you mentioned aggregation earlier. Why is that such a big concern?
Well, like you said, it can make the drug less effective, but it can also trigger an immune response, right?
Exactly. Your body might see those clumps of protein as foreign invaders and start attacking them.
And that's obviously not something you want happening when you're trying to treat a disease.
No, definitely not.
So it seems like stability is a really major hurdle in formulating biologics. But you said earlier that small molecule drugs tend to be more stable.
Yeah, generally speaking, they are.
Why is that?
Well, it comes down to their structure again. Small molecules are much simpler and more robust. They don't have all those intricate folds and bonds that make biologics so delicate.
So they're less likely to fall apart or change their shape under stress.
Exactly. It's like comparing a simple brick to a complex origami sculpture. The brick is going to hold its shape a lot better.
I like that analogy. So we've got sterility and stability as two major challenges. Anything else we should be aware of?
Well, we also talked about buffer salts playing a role in stability, right?
Right. Can you remind me how that works?
So buffers help to maintain a stable pH, which is super important, but they can also affect how well the drug and other ingredients dissolve.
Okay.
And it gets a bit complicated because different substances dissolve better in different environments.
Right.
Like some substances, especially nonpolar ones, they dissolve better in less polar environments, and that's sometimes called salting in.
Salting in, okay.
And then they might become less soluble in really polar environments, which is salting out.
Okay, I think I'm following.
So you have to find the right buffer that not only keeps the pH stable, but also makes sure that everything stays dissolved.
Right, it's like a delicate dance. Everything has to be in harmony.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've covered some of the key challenges for biologics and injectables. Now let's switch gears and talk about small molecule drugs for a bit. So while biologics struggle with maintaining their complex structure, what are some of the typical formulation challenges that small molecule drugs face?
Well, they often have issues with solubility and bioavailability.
Okay, remind me what those terms mean.
So solubility is basically how well the drug dissolves, and bioavailability is how much of the drug actually gets absorbed into your bloodstream so it can do its job.
Right. So if a drug doesn't dissolve well or isn't absorbed well, it's not going to be very effective.
Exactly.
And how do scientists tackle those challenges?
There are a few different approaches. One common one is salt formation.
Okay.
So a lot of small molecule drugs are either weakly acidic or weakly basic. And by reacting them with an oppositely charged molecule, you can create a salt form that dissolves much better in water.
Ah, so it's like making the drug more water friendly.
Yeah, exactly. And another key strategy is playing around with the solid form of the drug.
Okay.
You know, a lot of drugs can exist in different crystalline arrangements, which are called polymorphs.
Polymorphs. We've talked about those before, right? They're like different ways that the molecules can pack together in a crystal.
Right, exactly. And these different packing arrangements can actually have a big impact on the drug's properties.
How so?
While they can affect things like solubility, stability, and even how easy it is to manufacture the drug.
Wow, so it's really important to choose the right polymorph.
It is. It's a critical quality attribute.
You also mentioned amorphous forms. How do those differ from polymorphs?
So amorphous forms don't have that regular ordered structure that you see in crystals.
Okay.
They're more like a jumbled mess of molecules.
And how does that affect their properties?
Well, they often dissolve more easily because they don't have that rigid crystal structure to break down.
Okay.
But the trade-off is that they can be less stable and might convert back to a crystalline form over time.
Ah, so it's a balancing act between getting good dissolution and maintaining stability.
Exactly. And then there are also co-crystals, which are another way to tweak the properties of small molecule drugs.
How do those work?
So you basically incorporate another molecule into the crystal structure of the drug.
Okay.
And this other molecule, it's called a co-former, it interacts with the drug molecule through these non-ionic interactions, like hydrogen bonds.
Okay.
And by carefully choosing the right co-former, you can change things like solubility, stability, and other properties.
So it's like fine-tuning the drug's behavior by adding in this extra ingredient.
Yeah, exactly.
So it sounds like formulating small molecules often involves a deep understanding of solid-state chemistry.
It really does.
And even though they tend to be more stable than biologics, they still have their own set of challenges.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For example, some small molecules can be transformed into other compounds once they're in your body. And sometimes those metabolites can be toxic.
So that's something else to watch out for. And
Definitely.
then biologics, on the other hand, they have that issue with immunogenicity that we talked about earlier.
Right, where your body might see the biologic drug as foreign and mount an immune response against it.
Right, so different classes of drugs, different sets of challenges.
Exactly.
Now, I know you mentioned OPR&D earlier as a source of real-world examples.
Yeah.
Can we dig into that a bit?
Sure. So OPR&D often publishes articles that show the real-world problems that scientists run into when they're developing new drugs.
Okay.
And while you might not always find a paper that directly compares small molecule and biologic formulations side by side, you can definitely find examples that highlight the unique challenges for each type.
So, what kind of examples are we talking about?
Okay, so let's say you're looking at an injectable formulation.
All right.
It could be a biologic, like an antibody, or even a small molecule that needs to be injected.
Right.
You might come across a paper that talks about how a research team had trouble with a peptide drug, which is a smaller kind of biologic.
Okay.
And the problem might be that it was aggregating or precipitating during manufacturing.
So like clumping together or falling out of solution.
Yeah, exactly. And the paper might describe how they had to really carefully control the temperature and the mixing speed,
Right.
or how they had to find specific excipients, those inactive ingredients we talked about,
Yeah.
to prevent those problems.
So it's all about finding the right recipe to keep everything stable and in solution.
Yeah, and then another challenge they might talk about is maintaining the right pH or isotonicity.
Isotonicity, remind me what that is.
It's basically making sure that the balance of salt and water in the formulation matches what's in your body,
Okay.
so it doesn't cause any pain or damage when it's injected.
Right, that makes sense.
And you might see papers that describe how they meticulously chose and adjusted buffer systems to achieve that balance.
So it's about fine-tuning every single aspect of the formulation.
Exactly. And on the small molecule side,
Yep.
you might find a paper that talks about how scientists optimize a chemical synthesis to reduce impurities.
Right, because those impurities can be toxic.
Yeah, and they might also describe how they figured out how to control the crystallization process to get the right polymorph.
The one with the best properties.
Exactly.
You also mentioned the example of developing a preparative HPLC method for isolating impurities.
Yeah, that's a good one.
How does that illustrate the differences between small and large molecules?
Okay, so imagine you're working with a small molecule drug
Okay.
and you found an impurity that you need to get rid of. An OPR&D paper might describe how they tried to separate that impurity from the drug using HPLC.
High performance liquid chromatography, right?
Right, and the problem might be that the impurity and the drug are really similar and they're hard to separate.
Okay.
So The scientists might have to try all these different solvents and mixtures.
Right, to find the perfect combination that separates them cleanly.
Exactly. And it can be a really long and complex process.
So it's like a chemistry puzzle they have to solve.
Yeah, pretty much.
Now, if you were working with a large biomolecule, like a protein, it would be a totally different story, right?
Totally different. You'd be worried about different kinds of impurities.
Like what?
Things like leftover bits of protein or DNA from the cells that were used to make the drug,
Okay.
or maybe slightly different versions of the protein that aren't as effective,
Right.
and the methods you would use to purify it would be totally different too.
So even though the goal is the same, to get a pure and effective drug, the techniques and challenges are very different.
Exactly. It all depends on the specific molecule you're working with.
This has been so interesting. I'm really starting to appreciate the complexity of drug formulation.
It's definitely more involved than most people realize.
So to wrap things up, can we just quickly recap the key formulation challenges we talked about today?
Sure. So for biologics and injectables, the big ones are sterility and stability.
Okay.
Keeping those complex molecules from falling apart or triggering an immune response.
Right. And for small molecules.
It's often about optimizing solubility and bioavailability, making sure the drug dissolves well and gets absorbed into your system.
And that often involves manipulating the solid form of the drug.
Exactly. And while stability is still important for small molecules, they might also have issues with toxicity from how they're processed in the body.
So different challenges, but equally important to overcome.
Absolutely.
And ultimately, why is it so crucial to get the formulation right?
Because it directly impacts whether a drug can actually do its job and help people.
Right. A poorly formulated drug, no matter how promising it might be, it's not going to be effective or safe.
Exactly. And that's why formulation science is such a critical part of drug development.
Well, thank you so much for breaking all of this down. For us, I feel like I have a much better understanding of what goes into creating the medicines we rely on.
You're welcome. It's been a pleasure talking about this.
As we wrap up this deep dive, I just want to leave you with a thought.
Okay.
With the growing number of biologic drugs being developed, how do you think innovations in formulation science are going to shape the future of medicine?
That's a great question.
Yeah, it's really amazing to think about all the research that's happening and how it might overcome some of the challenges we talked about today.
It definitely is.
Well, on that note, we'll wrap things up here. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, everyone.